I had before, earlier, lost my parents very early. My father was killed in the war and my mother died when I was 15 years old. We were poor, because at the time where I lived there were only poor and very rich people, so to speak. My mother had held a position in a castle and maintained relationships with the lord and mistress of the castle. My mother must have been popular among them there, because they were both godfathers to me. When my mother became ill, the lord and mistress of the castle looked after me. They had promised her, given that they would receive me in the castle. That is how it happened. When I was 15 years old I came to the castle. Well, from the very beginning I did not have to do dirty work because I too had a certain privileged position. But still, the coldness, this coldness of heart, mainly from the mistress, was a bit disgusting to me. They both called themselves pious people and they fought for their faith. I believed that I was also pious, but I had a different attitude. I believed that one had to do and undertake many things for the sake of God and the Savior. There was great wealth in this castle. Slowly, slowly, I was assigned a job, which meant I was allowed to control everything. For example, let us say what dirty laundry came in or went out that needed to be replaced. If any piece was taken out of a cupboard, I had to record it. I needed to know exactly how much dirty laundry was on the site. The mistress checked very often. It happened that something seemed to be missing, because sometimes something passed through my hands that I forgot to write down. Then I was scolded a bit accordingly, and it hurt me because I always stood there as if I had stolen something. But nothing was stolen from me, and I always had my eye open to make sure nothing was taken from the others. Fortunately, for the most part everything had cleared up again. But that was not the only thing in my hands. I also had to check the food, see how much was needed each day, and always keep a detailed record of what was in stock. It was, so to speak, calculated exactly how much could be needed each day. I always had to know about all the food, for example how much grain was left. The mistress kept checking, and not everything was always to her satisfaction. That's how we lived here in this castle. We did not have to starve, but I would like to briefly give an overview of how frugal things were, even though there was enormous wealth. To wash your hands. You could see sand, for breakfast there was soup, for lunch there was soup and corn or something else modest. You could drink tea in between. We were also allowed bread, which meant we were allowed so much for the servants and maids. Servants must be raised. You were not allowed to go any further than that, but some of them had larger appetites, so we had to divide things up so that there was enough. Baking was done once every 14 days, then this supply had to be built up. This meant I always had an exact overview of how many loaves of bread there were and had to check carefully that there was enough for 14 days. Two or three times a year, if things went well, three times. The butcher, as we called him, came to the castle. Animals were killed. And then, at this time, there was a festival in the castle, so to speak, you could eat meat and you always craved it. We were allowed to eat more of this meat during these certain days or times because otherwise we would have contracted scurvy from our unbalanced diet. So it was granted to us because they had to give it to us. Everything was always carefully considered and calculated, how much meat went into the fireplace so that every now and then, or on Sundays, throughout the year there would be an enrichment. There were also visits, and then this meat was served. It was not only a celebration for us when these butchers came, but also for the neighbors and the poor. When things got that far in the castle, people quickly knew about it. So they came to the gate with their vessels to ask. And something was given to everyone who came. These two were strict about giving something to everyone who came. The lord of the castle was kinder than the mistress. It was actually he who gave these orders and who wanted to know exactly whether everyone was actually allowed to leave with something to eat. Nobody was allowed to be sent away. This was part of good manners, reputation and made the lord of the castle popular. So perhaps more was done out of calculation than out of charity and mercy. The wages you get, I would like to address this. Of course I do not have the relationship between then and now, but you know, that's about what I figured out. I was told that a servant in a better position, I would say someone who performed an important task, received a wage of between 20 and 30 francs a year. This amount was always paid out on New Year's Day. There was then a celebration, because the butchers were there beforehand and meat was available. So this was taken as an opportunity and you got the part you deserved. It should be noted that the rulers also paid for the clothes. You got a pair of shoes every 2 years. These shoes were only allowed to be worn when going out and not in the castle or in the surrounding area. Therefore, these shoes were not subjected to as much wear and tear because there were not as many opportunities to go out. These shoes as well as the slippers were made in the castle itself. The craftsmen came for a few weeks at a time and created these shoes to measure, so to speak. But I do not think you would be happy with such footwear today. The slippers we wore, we were given 2 pairs a year, were not made of leather, but of strong, dense material, the quality or type of which I cannot describe. Because the floor had to be protected, as some had very nice floors, and some only. Those employed in the kitchen and laundry accordingly had their footwear purchased for them, it always had to be put back in its place when the work was completed. So there was order. Everyone had to put their shoes in their place, and no one would have dared to put on someone else's shoes. In this relationship, people respected each other, and did not harm each other. In this relationship too, I had to control everything closely. Because there were still servants and messengers who had to do things outside the castle. But I do not want to talk about them now. I was responsible for controlling those employees who had to work within the castle. So you can imagine what kind of work it was, going by everyone and always checking everything closely. The fabrics for the robes that people wore were not woven in the castle, they were brought to us by merchants. The robes were then made on request according to the color and strength of the material, because the same durable material was not needed at all times. So you got one work dress every year and a nice dress every 2 years. It was also my job to check that everyone had their clothes in order. This was, so to speak, all the work I had to do. So she was not so strict because, like my mother, I had a privileged position, especially since I was also the godchild of the lord and mistress of the castle. Of course I had many opportunities to look in here and there and see a lot of things that I did not like, and I was very bothered by the fact that, on the one hand, people believed that they were so pious and, on the other hand, they often displayed great harshness. But when I looked around everywhere, I realized that I was fine. There were employees in the castle who had to work hard for less wages. Their work was not valued, even though it was much more laborious to do. I often thought about it, if I were this mistress, I would do it differently. I also had the opportunity to come into contact with the craftsmen. They came to the castle, the carpenter, the shoemaker, the wheelwright. Everyone came who was needed at the time, there was enough space. I also had to make sure they were right, because my mistress and master loved it that I gave precise reports about everything. For a while a craftsman who had a large family came to our castle. One day he told me that he had been called up and now had to go to war too. He said to me, "Agnes, that was my name, pray for me that I come back again, because you know I have so many children. They must have their bread." Yes, one saw much misery, it was war, war, war. People had looked up to all those who were in the castle with a certain respect or awe, because they had a safer life. We were, so to speak, protected and well cared for, lifted. Even though their meals were not plentiful, we did not have to go hungry. We never wanted to complain about it, because we saw and heard too much of all the misery everywhere, far away. It happened that this man came back from the war seriously wounded, he was seriously ill and was brought home. According to his wife, how she lives with their many children, Ben had, nobody asked. But I was able to make it possible now and then to collect something secretly and give it to a runner so that he could bring it to that craftsman's house. Now one day a difficult piece of news came, the woman had died after giving birth to the 10th child. And in this family there was already endless misery, no money, no goods, no bread, nothing. I was just over 30 years old at the time. The man, who was injured and thus disabled, was later able to return to work because both of his hands remained healthy. Even if he had to limp, he could do his work. I always found him to be a sincere and good person. He came to the castle, asked about work, complained to me about his suffering and said, "I do not know what to do, I have 10 children and no wife." He asked me, "Don't you want to come to my house?" Yes, it was something heavy, and my heart was so filled with pity. I simply had a completely different idea of a religious life. I thought I could claim that I was pious. I also always tried to ensure that there was calm among the servants and that no arguments could break out. I wanted to do my part because I had a great devotion to the Savior, our Redeemer Jesus Christ. I sometimes thought about his severe suffering and believed that it was man's duty to do his part. This man had asked me to come into the house and become his wife. Actually, it didn't take much thought for me because I thought to myself, "You can lend a hand there. What happens to all these children?" People did not care what happened to them because it was war and everyone had their own misery. So I decided to go. I told my mistress this. Of course she wanted to stop me and said, "What are you thinking? You will end up in endless misery. You will have to starve while you have a carefree life here." The lord of the castle also came to me and said, "Think carefully about this step you want to take. There will be a lot of tears for you, a lot of work, and you are not used to working in this way." I replied, "I will do it, with God's help. I will ask God to give me the strength to do this." I knew there was nothing there, in that house. There were no storerooms with grain, there were not as many breads baked every fortnight as we do, there was not a butcher coming 3 times a year. I knew it. But I still pulled myself together. I had carefully guarded and collected the money that I had received, and there was still little that I could take with me. Nevertheless, my colleagues had also advised me against it. Yes, they had laughed at me and mocked me for doing that. But the more they talked about it, the stronger my decision became. I asked the lord of the castle to release me at a certain time, which we agreed upon. "Well," he said, "then let your will be done, and go in God's name." So the time came and I packed up my things. I was allowed to take everything with me that had been made for me. You were allowed to keep or give away things that were still in good condition. The time was now over for me to get something new at some point. So I tried to gather together what I could and then wanted to sell the things that I did not need, because I knew there was a lack in many places. Now I experienced a big surprise. On the day that was appointed to leave the castle, the lord of the castle explained to me, "You have served with us for many, many years now, and we have sponsored you. You had nothing to complain about with us. We have now prepared the ALOTM for you," they told me at the time, "and I don't know any other word for it." I had no idea about it. The load was there, there were 2 big wagons and I was allowed to look at them. There were objects of use stalls, which of course had long been superfluous in the castle, but were still quite well preserved, and there were even valuable items among them. I received 1/2 wagon full of grain and various kinds of food. And they promised to bake bread for the next 2 years and send it to me. Of course I was completely surprised because I had not expected that. My departure was accompanied by cheers and joy on the one hand and tears on the other. I was given this great joy. 4 horses pulled my load. So we went. As was customary back then, I sat down next to the carter and went into the poor house. Of course the man was very surprised. He had, yes, just like me, had no idea about it and was surprised. And the children, they stood there like a ladder, from the biggest to the smallest, there were 10 of them, and of course they were really happy. A lot of work awaited me. I was used to keeping order. Now the first thing I had to do was break the habit of writing all these things down, as I always did when I had to keep track of things. But I had a good measure. My practiced eye was good at estimating how long things lasted. I benefited from what I had learned at the castle. The lord of the castle was full of kindness and sent me 2 helpers to put the house in order, because there was a lot to clean and put in order and to set up the utensils that I had been given. I had in the end, that's what I can say, a very nice home created, despite these poor surroundings. Everything was cleaned. At first I did not need to be distressed, especially since we were provided with bread, and so we had something to eat. I did my work, and it was like this, despite this great enrichment that I received, which was of course very important for such a family. I had a lot of work to do with the 10 children. I had to be very, very careful, because I said it, the shoemaker or the dealers did not come from time to time to ask about the fabrics. But every now and then I got something from the castle. It was more or less possible to live like that, and I certainly could not complain. I probably had a better life than many, many others, but not the same as I would have had at the castle. But I was happier, more content, because I knew, I have fulfillment in my life. I loved these children, even though there was a lot of discomfort and a lot to overcome. But I was able to overcome everything and it went wonderfully. My husband was a good soul and understanding with me. He also showed understanding towards the children. This is how I had fulfilled my life. I was allowed to reach the age of 70 and had to leave the world before my husband. The children were all grown up and had children of their own. I also felt better in the last few years of my life. But I do not have to talk about that now, but about what awaited me in the spiritual world. When I got there was a whole row of ghosts standing there. A soul, my husband's first wife, rushed me, came up to me, hugged me and thanked me. She thanked me for this task, for the work I had accomplished. And immediately she placed a wreath of ivy around my head. She had also placed a bouquet of the most beautiful flowers in my arms. I had to look around and was curious about this sky. It was simply said to me very briefly, "Now you are in heaven, and now you are standing before the angels. Now a different life begins for you. As hard as you worked on earth, you no longer need to work here, and you will find reward for what you have done." So it went on and I was spoken to. I saw another soul from afar. She had a modest bouquet in her hands and wanted to walk towards me, but could not because she was not given priority. I was so surrounded, my parents were there and so many people I knew. They were happy and cheered me. The one who wanted to greet me, and at the same time another male ghost who stood modestly back, were my former lord of the castle and the mistress. They wanted to come up to me and greet me. I was a little surprised that they were not dressed more beautifully and did not look better. Because in my opinion they were, despite everything I had witnessed, really good people. They had a good heart after all, because I thought about what they had done to me. Then I made my way to them and they both hugged me and were happy. But I had to realize that they did not look happy. I was actually disappointed about that and asked her, "What is it that makes you not happy that I am here?" They replied, "Oh yes, we are happy. We were just waiting for you, on me." "Why?" I wanted to know. "Yes, we were told that only when you come will a more beautiful sky open to us." I did not really understand it at first because I was too overwhelmed by the others. But I still had this gratitude within me. I had to face these 2, thank you for being grateful, because through their kindness they had relieved me of a large part of my life's heaviest burdens. I tried to thank them now, because I suspect that it was about them relying on me, and that is how it was. I asked the others who surrounded me to release me. I would like to go to these 2 because I would be so grateful to them. It was like this. The two said to me, "Only you can open the gate to a more beautiful heaven for us. You should say what kindness and love we have shown you." As soon as they had said this, beautifully dressed angelic beings intervened in the conversation, and very eagerly. I was a bit surprised by this energetic way of speaking. The angels began to list things that had happened in the castle and tell stories that I did not know about. I had no idea that this would be so severely marked for them in heaven. I did not know that they had burdened themselves with something like that. I had not dealt with and burdened myself with such business matters and politics. I did not know anything about it. I only saw the good heart that they showed to me. Of course, I often criticized the mistress domineering and excessive precision, but I thought to myself, it is not my place to judge her for that. Now, these angels spoke quite forcefully about many things that had happened, how much wealth they had acquired and how it had not happened in a completely honest way. You could have achieved much more if you already had such a large asset. The angelic beings had a lot to say. Then a soul, it was my husband's first wife, gave me a sign that I should intercede for them both, that I should speak for them. I do not know how it happened, suddenly I could talk so well. I said to them, "Oh, have mercy," and I listed everything they had given me. My husband's earnings were too small to raise 10 children. I would not have been able to do it if they had not always sent me bread and given me fabrics and so on. I never stopped recounting all the things they had given and given me and how sad my life would have been otherwise and how I would not have been able to fulfill it if they had not stood by me. By speaking so eagerly I was able to soften the angels. Her appearance had suddenly taken on a much softer tone, it was not as hard anymore. Yes, I would like to say that they began to smile quietly, as if they were admiring the way I spoke. There were three angelic beings next to each other who had previously spoken so energetically and listed everything that the mistress and the lord of the castle had done wrong. Then suddenly they said, "Very well, dear soul, you have come this far, and your intercession should be obeyed. So lead her to heaven." I could not help but be amazed. I did not know where I was supposed to take them, because I was almost dazed by everything that was falling on me. But deep down I just wanted to give them the most beautiful sky. Then these three walked ahead of us, and we walked along a path or path. It was lit up so beautifully in gold, and it kept getting brighter and brighter. At first there was only a narrow path, but it not only became clearer and brighter, but also wider and wider, until suddenly we were all together in a magnificent city. Then they came, these angels of God, and explained to the two, "Now your time of purification is over. The good that you have done to your fellow human beings in life you will also find your reward. In the spiritual world you will now be given your tasks, you will have to work." They agreed to it because they saw the need. By now they had developed a certain modesty and humility, they were no longer as bossy as they had been as humans. I believe that in the time since they have been in the spiritual world, they have learned how to behave in a dignified manner towards one's neighbor and that one regards one's neighbor as a brother and wishes them the best, just as one does for yourself too. We were amazed at this brightness, this splendor of color, and I especially. The two now had to say goodbye to me, they were allowed to take a different path. It was explained to me that I would now meet with others. I was summoned to further meetings. A program had been drawn up for me, so to speak, and it had been suggested to me that I needed some rest now. I was then led into a beautiful garden surrounded by many trees. It was not very big, and it seemed to me like a garden in the middle of a forest, full of the most magnificent flowers. I had a place to lie down here, I was supposed to rest here. I lay down and the three angels, who had said goodbye to the other two, promised to come by again and continue to guide me. I should not tell you anything about what happened to me, because my task was to briefly summarize the life I lived and to explain something about it to you. Everything I have said should be a guide for you in life. When we look at you, for example, the home you have, the work you are allowed to do, the freedom you have. We as humans did not even know this wonderful independence back then. People were free back then, but it was not the freedom you have. If a person spoke something back then, his word did not count, just as today the word counts for you people who are allowed to live in a free state. At the time when I lived, things were not that orderly. When a woman died, she was taken away, the children were not allowed to go to an orphanage. Over time, they were already cared for, but by force, and no care was taken for their physical or mental well-being. So it was a completely different situation. And remember, most of you have comforts, you also have your pleasure, which you can afford. You are so free in many things, and remember that in those days, if we wanted to go from one village to another, we had to walk for long, long hours, that we walked through the night. The rich had it well, they had their horses and they had riders, their messengers. Things were different there. If you wanted to receive a message from somewhere, you had to walk for many hours to get it. And in general, for the men of that time, especially in times of war, it was a big struggle to get work and have enough bread on the table. Comfort like you have was unthinkable. There was never enough water to wash yourself clean. Today there are people who have such a beautiful life, so many comforts. It goes without saying that they have to work, because that is what the good Lord wants. Nevertheless, they do not appreciate this beautiful life and are not satisfied. When they come home, they take it for granted that they do not have to draw water, that they do not have to carry it, water is just before them. So many conveniences are taken for granted today. You do not need to count or weigh how long the grain or bread will last. You have your abundance, sweets. Think about it, nothing like that existed when I had to live. And if I may go further, if you work, you can afford clothes as you see fit, depending on your income. Yes, that did not exist back then either. Back then, only the lords and mistresses of the castle had such a well-groomed appearance as people do today, and not always. You have no idea what a comfortable life you are in, what a beautiful life you have. Think back a few centuries to the misery that lived there. Then become content again and do not demand anything, always for more, but only for so much that it is proportionate, so that your good heart always stays warm. And never forget that there are also people who do not have as much as you or who are sick. You can help them or other poor people. You people are given the opportunity to do something, even if you no longer have this poverty. What is most needed today is to bring people salvation. If they do not suffer from earthly goodness, they suffer from illness in their soul. So many are dissatisfied and live in unhappiness and infidelity. Yes, dear friends, this is what humanity today suffers from to a large extent. It used to be a different way. But I think that hardly any of you would like to change to a time that was only a few hundred years ago. I am told that I have spoken to you enough and I take my leave again. I am in the service of God, I am assigned to the helping spirits who fulfill their task for you. So may God's blessings accompany you. May you become content, happy people. God bless you. Joseph, God bless you. My dear friends, I would like to try to answer your questions. Dear Joseph, would you like to know in which country Agnes lived? Joseph, cannot you guess that from the whole description? In Germany? Joseph, yes. Report of the experience of the rising spiritual being Agnes and answering questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Quarten Kaldenstress, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Next headline, April 1, 1959. Sapphire, Heavenly Existence and Teaching Office. Teaching ascending spiritual beings in various ways those stages as a fulfilling task in the afterlife. Greetings from the control spirit. Sapphire, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, I have been commissioned to tell you about my experiences in the spiritual realm. I live with 8 siblings in a beautiful spiritual house that could more accurately be described as a small castle. It is located on a hill and is the only house for miles around, surrounded by beautiful gardens and forests.